Thank God it's Monday. The here and the now is what matters, my friends. And I hope that your weekend went exceptional. It's time to take a full sprint away from that weekend and leave it in the dust, because it matters not. What matters now is what you do with the rest of your time here this week going forward. We're going to set you up for a phenomenal week. What makes it phenomenal is our ability to stay right in the present moment, because this is where everything is perfect. This is where we assign all of the goodness that our future self will unlock and step into. It's right now in this present moment. We know it on a daily basis that if you take yourself out of the present moment, you lose. Thinking too much about the future leads to more anxiety, and thinking too much about what you did or didn't get done this past weekend makes you feel depressed and low. Staying in the moment, accepting that right now is the most perfect opportunity for you guys to thrive, that's the way to go, because anything can happen in the here and the now. It's something that I hopefully have almost tricked you guys into understanding if you don't go out of your way to understand it on your own. Society certainly doesn't teach that that's the move. When we're talking about being urbane and productivity and fast-paced, keeping up with the Joneses, even though the Joneses are way in debt, what we do is we forget to teach each other that being in the here and the now, that's the ticket. That's that hack. That's the biohack. That's the biological hack that we need. But what about all the other biohacks, right? There's so many of them. We're able to chart every single metric on our body. We're able to talk about heart rate variability. We're talking about how long do we sleep and how deep was the sleep? Like, how many times do my eyes dart around with my eyelids closed? We can chart when our workout starts without even having to punch it in to our watch, to our phone. And going forward, I need to be optimal. So I'm going to fast, maybe. Or I'm going to take nootropics. These nootropics that are derived from some psilocybin relative, some mushroom over here tripping balls, but feeling good cognitively. I'm biohacking. I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that I optimize for myself. But how much does that run counter to the idea of staying in the moment? The rise of biohacking has taught us that there are so many ways for you to exogenously extract the best version of yourself. And it best not be, is anything but, as biohacking will teach, sitting still and thinking about how I can do that better, right? And it almost runs counter to what this ego killer is about. This ego killer is about looking at introspection. It's about looking at your actions, changing behaviors for the better. The world of biohacking is a little bit more meta than that, right? It almost sometimes feels a little bit more mechanical than that. So we're going to go over it today. There's been a sharp increase in biohacking for health, for longevity, for habit change. That includes intermittent fasting. It includes wellness apps and wearables. It includes behavior shifts. It includes taking supplements of all sort. And I am thinking, because I knew someone who was really not forced, but really encouraged strongly to always be on some sort of what is tantamount to a nootropic, take his nootropic and steadily almost melt away into some sort of unhappiness. But I'm not saying that those things make you unhappy. I'm not saying that they make you worse. I'm saying, well, if biohacking is what's going to make us feel better, if that is us being our most optimal and most efficient version of self, how is there any other possibility but supreme, euphoric happiness? We're going to take a look at it as I explain to you guys what biohacking is, how it's affected us. Maybe you want to get off into it and start biohacking on your own. Or maybe there's an easier way to do it. Maybe it's just simple as remembering that right now is a perfect moment. So whatever it might be, let's break it all the way down. You guys are going to learn that there is a correlation between high-level biohacking and some sort of technology-induced kind of tie-in. So I'm guilty of it. That's right. I want you guys to biohack your way onto my website, CoachJohanCSCS.com, and download that nutrition packet right there. Because once you do, you're going to be able to answer all of your base-level nutrition questions, whether it's Kiko, your best... your new pet name, right? You're about to name the next pet you get Kiko because you're going to learn calories in versus calories out. What exactly that means when you're talking about putting on or losing mass. Like how many muscle grams or mass do you lose when you lose weight? Is it any? Is it none? Is it all fat? I bet you guys had no clue. Well, now you're going to know. You're going to know, too, how to prevent your relapse. What stage of change you're in right now. It matters. Helps you guys keep your grounding when things get tough inside the gym or when you're changing your habits outside the gym. It's all in that packet. You need to get that for free. All right. We can talk about biohacking. In the modern sense, there's just a little bit more than just having a PDF packet. Like, that's just easy. Anybody could go ahead and upload a PDF packet anywhere. That's not really a biohack. That's just simply an easier way for you guys to download something without having to go to the library or whatever and print out a bunch of paper. We like to save paper these days, right? We're not keen on cutting down more trees. My garage says otherwise. If I see a downed tree, I've been known to pick them logs up and then chop them up and create some stuff out of them. But by and large, it's not really a biohack. In the early 2000s, biologists started to figure out that what we're creating inside the lab could actually optimize the way we live. And then that technology came in. And then all of a sudden we started talking, you heard CrossFit coaches start talking about heart rate variability, right? And then those CrossFit coaches started to open up big gyms. And then next to the gyms, there'd be an MMA coach. And the MMA coach would be like, yo, how are you training your athletes? I'm going to introduce some of that to their fighters. And then they just took the whole package called CrossFit. And then we're like, do CrossFit, do that rope thing, do that ring thing where you're snapping your legs up to your chest and then doing a pull-up. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and make sure that you do a thruster, but your elbows have to be dug deep in your groin first before you throw the bar overhead. Go ahead and do that. And the old quotidian like CrossFit circuit, that became the workout du jour behind this whole just rush of intellectual property behind not just CrossFit, but behind the movement trying to keep pace with the technology that was available to us. All of a sudden, we were able to chart all of these metrics really, really quickly. And so we had to catch up. The analog had to catch up with the digital. And what we created was, man, I remember still being in the gyms and having people go on to, Fat Secret and punch in their diets or go ahead and start the early advent of Fitbits where people were trying to keep up with their calories. And of course, there was some trickiness going on there. And you all got to thank Silicon Valley. Yes, that's right. Right where I'm sitting right now, you guys have all of that excess technology. The creators, they rented homes out in this area where I'm sitting right now. Have them to thank, have them to laud, because this is where a lot of those influences first started about 10, 15 years ago. So we talk about it, intermittent fasting. We talk about, and basically if you go on a Joe Rogan show, right? I don't know if it's still like this anymore. You go on there and you will learn all about all of these little biohacks. I feel like that's probably what his show is about when it comes to fitness. It's like biohacking, like straight up and down. Again, I don't know if his show's still like this now, but if you glance through YouTube and you accidentally catch one of his shorts or one of these type shows, little clips or whatever, you're probably going to hear someone's, we went in and found blue algae at the bottom of our swimming pool and we turned it into we scraped it off the pool and we put it in a blender and created psilocybin nootropic pancakes or something like that. And we found that cognitive or cold exposure, one thing that I feel like is overrated, but can obviously be proved to be beneficial in certain aspects when we're talking about looking at very indicative markers, right? Very limiting markers. Does that mean everybody needs to be all in the cryotherapy chamber with those thin little gloves and that white robe that looks like you're getting out the dentist? Or should you guys go to 7-Eleven right now and get yourself some ice bags? Right? Because there is a method to that madness. If that cold exposure is really good for you, should everybody be doing it then? If that's the case, should we have cryotherapy in the doctor's offices all together? One of the things that I'll never forget is Sergey. I talk about Sergey all the time. Sergey had a condition. He was oftentimes really depressed. And his family wanted him to not feel that way. I think it was something that he battled most of his life. And some of the decisions that he made, whether it was him going into prison for whatever it was back when he was younger, him coming out, not doing anything really major, just doing dumb shit, like having multiple DUIs, maybe he had a possession of this or that, maybe he knew some people that got him caught up. He was actually a decent guy. I mean, going in to a punishment isn't reserved for bad people. Could be quality people that make horrible mistakes that a day later they wouldn't make. These are impulsive mistakes born of anxiety, born of a battle against depression that shifts your behaviors and you, in moments, forget. My life is going to be much longer than this moment. It doesn't all have to be decided here. And so we make mistakes sometimes. Well, he made mistakes because of his depression. And remember, too, Sergey is probably now in his 80s. And back then, Sergey went and said, hey, I'm feeling kind of depressed. You know, a doctor might be like, okay, you little punk. Here's some, probably give him some placebo sugar tablets and be like, good luck with that. I'm just kidding. Obviously, we had antidepressants back then. But at the same time, society was like, okay, you little soft boy. Little soft boy, what are you trying to do here? Be depressed? Really? What if there was a war? What if the Reds were dropping bombs? Would you go run? Probably would. And so he learned to kind of bottle it up. And so fast forward many decades later, and this stuff affects him still. And whether or not it should all the time, and whether or not it was something he could overcome, okay, that's up for debate. Definitely was. I told you that over the years, talking to Sergey, he actually got better over time and worse over time, but he was still trying. So you want to put stock into him trying? I think you should. One of the things that we want to talk about, too, is the nature of how Sergey always seemed to resist the fact that he was on heavy antidepressants sometimes in his life. Always seemed to resist it. Almost seemed unhappy that he was on it. Loved, because I remember I told you that I talked to some of his family members, but he loved when he would skip a day of taking those antidepressants, a day or a week, or stop taking them or whatever. He would relish in it, almost like he was getting away with something, right? Like a kid that got slipped an extra $5 bill from the 7-Eleven, gave you out that change or whatever, and then they slipped you an accidentally $5 bill and you didn't notice till you got home. And you're going to go tell everybody. You know? He would revel in it. And I oftentimes, from talking to him, got the sense that he really felt mentally, maybe a lot better, but emotionally, a lot worse. There was no denying it. He felt like it was a burden, felt like he wasn't being able to express himself qualitatively, that was holding him back. And so there is a plus side to this. There is a plus side. There's a plus side and a minus side to cold exposure, HIIT interval training, nootropics. We know. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say it too. For Sergey, he took medication to lower his cholesterol. And so that number was low. It was in a healthy range, despite him being a really heavy guy. Really heavy dude, really big guy, tall, strong, really high cholesterol. Taking that cholesterol-lowering medicine lowered his numbers. But did that mean he was healthy? Because I can say without a question that he was on the fringe. I know that at some point he had battled with his health in ways with the angina, with the heart stuff. That scared the shit out of me a few times. So was he healthy? Man, I can't honestly say no. Because, I mean, he wasn't slumped over. He wasn't keeled over. But so he was healthy. But, like, was he healthy? Was he weekend at Bernie's? Or was he, like, living life somewhere in the middle? And I don't think if you ask somebody to sign up as they get older for something in the middle that they're going to accept. No one wants to be like, hey, you just want to wake up and live an adequate life for 25 years straight. Zero excitement. I'm not saying this was his case, but I am saying, like, it was close. Zero excitement, zero change, just being okay. Your heart numbers are fine because you definitely can't eat no cheeseburgers. Got to keep those numbers low. But your numbers will be nice and low. You don't want to get too excited about anything because you're going to have a huge crash. So we're going to keep you right in the middle. Like, yo, for me, being in the middle the whole time just sounds like a nightmare. It almost sounds like death because you never really get to experience the most of anything. For me, I will take, and I think it is for most people, I will take a nosedive. I'll take a risk. If that risk doesn't pan out, at least I took the risk. I feel like with our limited time on Earth, with our limited time maybe in the spotlight, we're supposed to be over here taking risks of some description on how we're supposed to get by at some point. Just needs to be calculated. And if we never take it, I'm easily going to make the argument we're not really living. So an over-reliance too on technology might be something to look at, because what I noticed over time is you guys botch it when you're talking about how many calories you're supposed to be taking in when you're talking about your wearables. Your wearables are telling you you're supposed to be taking in 1,800 calories when you forgot that you entered. Whoops, I accidentally entered that I'm a Olympic reserve athlete in floor gymnastics. So your Fitbit literally thinks that you're like Simone Biles, and you're not, right? But is it your fault that you accidentally entered that in? It should be really easy for you to enter in on your wearables. Like, no, I work out once a week. So you know how when you work out, the allotted calories goes up? Not if you do it once a week. But the wearables don't make that determination at all, right? Maybe nowadays they do, but definitely the first, second, third gen did not. And I see a lot of you guys with the mistaken calorie count that's way higher than it should be. Or I'm entering foods and it's too easy for me to enter in the wrong foods. Or I'm entering foods and those, it's like I had one bagel. What kind of bagel? Was it the healthy kind that's made out of cardboard and non-gluten substitutes? Or was it the regular kind that, you know, will give you diabetes? You know, so maybe it was this one. And this one's 100 less calories. And then you come to coaches like me and you're like, man, my Fitbit, my wearable told me I ate 280 calories today. How did I gain 2 pounds? And it's because, well, you didn't add the correct foods, but it didn't motivate you to do that. So it's not really your fault at all. The reliance, however, is your fault. But look, no one's going to sue you for being reliant on this technology that we are told to believe is ultra reliable. But we're biohacking. This week, I want you guys to tell me in the comments what your biohack is. Is it a fast of some kind? Are you going to push your body into ketosis? Are we sleeping deeper? Have we figured out how to get the square pillow underneath the shoulder properly? Do you guys decompress? Is it Epsom salt decompression? Or do you do something else? Have you just really figured out how to get your sleep mask on? And does it pump out aromatherapy? relatively new concepts. And just why? Why is it so important that we're hyper competitive in the workplace? Right? Especially here in America. Why is it a cultural expectation that we have the highest standards for physical appearance, lifestyles, and success? And to give off the illusion or the appearance or the veneer that, yo, I'm out here looking like 10 alongside that productivity. Like, if I look hyperproductive, it's because I am hyperproductive. This suit did not buy itself. My ride, my whip, it didn't drive itself here. Oh, wait. It's semi-autonomous. It did drive it. No, right? And remembering that medical technology is still a technology. Someone programmed it for you to use, and they're not you. So you have to be better than the technology instead of over-relying it. This is when HIIT intervals and LISS intervals became a thing. We figured out heart rate variabilities on our watches. And for all of the exposure to those technologies, of those intellectual properties, we still need to know how to use it. Like, is it a HIIT interval, if you know what I mean? Does that matter? Like, when we're out here, when I'm training with you guys, you want to break out in a cold sweat, but then you also want to get stronger. Sometimes those two things don't happen. Sometimes those two things, make no mistake, don't happen. If you're just doing a straight up weightlifting strength session, I can make you break out and sweat in like 2 minutes flat, easy. But if you come far enough along to where your goal is to actually get stronger, some days you aren't breaking a sweat because you're focused on your lifts. You're focused on your technique. You're focused on putting up numbers, reps. And will you break out in a sweat? Possibly, probably the intensity will be there. But is it going to be a high caloric workout? No. And that's just the way your body works. Can't change that. Can I have you run around the block after each lift? Sure, but your lifts will suffer. Versus, I need to break a sweat every single time, so I'm going to do that HIIT interval. And then again, versus long, slow, and steady winning the race. These are all biohacks. So let's talk briefly about the tools of Titan, Tim Ferriss. And here, right here, is the author, Tim Ferriss. Before we get into the quote or the video, I want to talk a little bit about Tools of Titan. Tools of Titans is just him going through really popular people and coming up with ideas that strengthen or almost kind of biohack their lives. Among them, morning routines, meditation, dietary experiments, which again, the biohack revolution was based on self-experimentation, recovery techniques, productivity, and cognitive enhancement.
Nail breakfast, even if you don't change any of your other meals, any other behaviors, that is often enough to lose 10 to 20 pounds or a month of fat. And I've seen this thousands of times now. The dream breakfast, number one, you're going to have breakfast within 30 minutes of waking up. You can think of it as 30 within 30. 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up.
Not bad.
The meal that I would suggest is something like 2 or 3 eggs. Then you have lentils or black beans and then some type of green vegetable like spinach, right? If you drink
not
coffee,
good advice.
Tea, anything like that, instead of using milk, use a tablespoon or two of full fat cream instead. And then if you want a little bit of flavor, add some cinnamon to that. How can I lose fat? Could be
so very biohacky right there from Mr. Ferriss. As he describes to go ahead and eat, and there were some visuals accompanied there. And obviously you guys heard my reaction right there in real time. Very biohacky. All right, waking up at 3:30 minutes. Eating within 30 minutes. Definitely don't hate that advice. Definitely don't hate that advice at all. One thing that he was saying is, in that particular, it's biohacky, right? It's like burning fat right away, push your body into ketosis. He didn't say the K word, the dreaded, the vaunted, the lionized, the ineffable K word, ketosis. He didn't say it, but that's what he's trying to do right there. And just to kind of, you know, get people like me off of his back, the nutritionists, the ones who know, the dietitians, the one who knows something about this food science, just to get him off the back, he said, throw in some of those greens, What about carbs? Greens. Those are carbs. They are. They're carbs. They are carbs. You know? It's like eating the rind of a melon. Those are carbs, too. Those are carbs. Fiber's carbs. Fiber is also non-caloric and don't supply energy. So your blood sugar in this particular eating is kind of low. What else did he say? I think he mentioned something else about the dollop of fat cream in the coffee and nothing else. Again, just biohacky, pushing into ketosis, a little bit of that discipline, right? You're not starting off your day with some sugar, with any type of carbohydrate whatsoever. All of that, right? Gives you that discipline right there. We're talking about a type of fast. We're talking about that ketosis. And we're talking about the discipline of just eating right when you get up. So all of that is what he's talking about when he's talking about that 30 minutes you got to eat right away. Again, carbs are not, sugar's not bad, guys. It's added sugar. Added sugar, sugar on top of what we already see in eating. And yes, a lot of our processed products have that. But again, added sugars to be, sugar's not bad, just enough. It's actually good because your blood sugar needs to be replenished and your body will fight tooth and nail to do that, including breaking down ketogenic, yes, amino acids. But if you're depleted of those two because you've had an incomplete kind of, or if you've relied too heavily on ketones, guess what? You're going to break down other amino acids. For blood sugar, you're going to deaminate also. Non-glucogenic ones. Okay? So, what we want too is to take a further look as we just run down some of the ideas. Love the morning routine thing. Meditation. Very important. Underrated. Underrated to meditate first thing in the morning. Sit there a little bit longer under the covers if you have to. Meditate. And the easiest way to do that is to pick your phrase. You can go with the so hum, the I am, and start chanting it. But before that, do what so many like just tattooed mandala wearing yogis practice, because it is amongst, and I'm not making fun of yoga, it is amongst a yoga practice to set your intention for the day. Set your intention. You can chant whatever you want as you clear your mind for 5 minutes, but I think it's mainly setting that intention up, which again, the space of meditation gives you time for. So love morning routines, because all those hormones that start to ramp up in your body, they need a reason to attach cognitively, so your mind interprets that ramp up of cortisol, of glucagon, of all the other behavioral, you know, the circadian rhythm based hormones. Cognitively, your brain goes, oh, this is up. Let's get it popping for the day. Again, I talk about intermittent fasting. I talk about how to do it correctly on my website, Coach Johan CS. Go check it out. Other than that, never going to tell you to do a diet of any description. Hate ketogenic diets. Don't do any of them unless you are prescribed one from a doctor, because that doctor will know, hey, your brain injury was pretty severe. Here's a ketogenic diet. Help you get past that. Other than that, stay the hell away from those, because you will fail. Talking about recovery, again, just my little thing on cold therapy. I was actually challenged with this recently. Not so much challenged, but I was talked about, like, someone was asking me about them cold tubs. And look, I've done them not consistently enough, and you do feel pretty good getting out. I mean, what happens, you know, 5 minutes after you smash your finger with a hammer? Your finger feels better. Like, do you smash your hammer so your finger feels? Some of you do stuff like that. You're called addicts. By and large, though, it feels good coming out of the cold tub, like your injured parts of your body. But I think that's really just you hardening yourself mentally and building mental resiliency and toughness with your internal monologue, reinforcing intrinsic drive. That's what I think the cold tub's really, really gifted for. Slowing down your heart rate is also good. There's proteins in the body, supposedly, scientifically. I don't care. I know this. There's too much to be said about slowing down your body's healing mechanisms to make me ever believe that physiologically alone, just your body being your body, having it cool down a bunch of degrees when you're trying to heal it, to me, and I get that maybe all the healing responses get ramped up, but physically we know what happens to blood vessels, to any biological structure once it's cold. It moves slower. It constricts. None of that is ever good for you. Maybe later on, but I think if you do this for real, you know that ain't the business. Now, if you're into biohacking and you want to practice that, please let me know if I'm wrong in the comments. Productivity, for sure. Anything that we can use to be more productive, like letting go of multitasking as an actual productivity tool, we do that. Also, eating the frog, managing your email with some of these little apps. Pomodoros, I'm a big fan of, especially when you work for yourself, understanding that you need breaks and to bake them into what you do. Very important. And then cognition enhancement. Me for the nootropics. Let me know if you guys are into those type of things. Taking magnesium and melatonin. Me, not a big believer. I have been knocked out KTFO after taking some melatonin, but I also have understood it and have practiced it to believe, like, if you're lacking it, the tryptophan or the melatonin that gets produced to begin with, you're going to notice the effect and knock out quicker. And I just know too much about sleep, having lost a bunch of it in my life. Starting businesses is like anything that promotes better sleep, you start to interpret positively and form pro behaviors to sleeping better. So like if you like your room to be 71 degrees on the money and someone goes to 68 and that makes you sleep worse, you're going to get worse sleep. You just kind of got to find what your rhythms are, and your brain, your body, it's a beautiful thing. It'll do the rest. Can we biohack it with this stuff? You can't convince me that melatonin helps you knock out. You can convince me that, you know, the Benadryl type sleep aids that are out there, the diphenhydramine or whatever, however you pronounce it. Yeah, I mean, those just straight up knock you out. That's not biohacking, right? That's just taking a sleep aid that works, right? And there's all kinds of unconventional ways we can think about reading more. I subscribe to you guys getting on some of this Audible where you're getting your books read aloud to you, because it's just like this, just like a podcast where somebody is enthusiastically reading their work to you while you're driving. And let's be real, you know, social media, you're scrolling, you're listening to stuff. Sometimes you're either doing one or the other, but you're still absorbing it. So there are YouTubes where you don't have to watch it. You can just listen, and then you can only watch it, and they ASMR the whole thing. So there's this like splitting of listening and hearing to where you can definitely pick up a lot from just listening to someone read their book. Cool. I think we biohacked our way through this one, my friends, and I hope that you guys have learned something out of it. Go to Johan, CoachJohanCSCS.com, and keep biohacking there and pick up that nutrition packet. That way you can have all your nutrition questions answered. And be big this week. Be big. Choose to stay in the pocket, whatever your pocket might be, and make decisions from there. All right, I'm going to let you go. Have a good one. Stay all the way up.